I want to start the message this morning by asking you a couple of questions. They're rhetorical. Please don't feel like you have to answer unless you really want to. Suppose that you were in the market for a new car.
That's good, isn't it?
And you went to the dealership. You found the car you wanted. You agreed on a price. Everything was good. And you were just about ready to write the check. And the salesman said, "Now, by the way, if you buy this car, you have to bring it back one day a week to the dealership so I can drive it." You probably wouldn't buy it, would you? Suppose you're in the market for a house and you found a house that you liked and you got with the real estate agent and you looked at it and you agreed on a price for it and you were just about ready to write the check. And at the closing, the owner says, "Now, by the way, you get all of the house except for one room and I'm going to live in that one room." I don't think we'd buy the car or the house under those conditions, do you? I wouldn't. That is exactly what we do to God. We want forgiveness of our sins. We want the blessings of God in this life. We want heaven to come. We want a personal relationship with Him. And we come to Him and we tell Him that's what we want, but there's a condition. I want to maintain some measure of control over my own life. We don't use these words, but by our actions and by our attitudes, we tell God, "Now, you can have every bit of me except for my work life. The job is separate on the job. Now, it's hard to be a Christian on the job. And I'm surrounded by unsaved people. So you can have all of me, Lord, except my job. You can't have that. You can have all of me, Father, except for my home life, my family. You can't have that. Maybe you're single. Lord, you can have all of me except for the person that I date, my date life. You can't have that. You can have everything about me, God, except for my money or my social standing, whatever it is." We come and say, "You can have it all, God, except for one thing." We've got a condition with God. Now, do we really expect Him to accept that? The title of today's message is Unconditional Surrender. This is a hard message. This is going to be a hard message to preach because it was a hard message to prepare. It's going to be a hard message to hear. You may not like it. But it is necessary for us to hear this message. All of the good things that come with Christianity require unconditional surrender. Victorious Christian living, personal peace, abiding joy, spiritual growth, spiritual prosperity. Salvation itself requires unconditional surrender. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Just one verse this morning. Paul said, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Paul called it a living sacrifice. He called it a sacrifice. And I want to talk about that sacrifice this morning. First of all, it is a living sacrifice. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." Paul encouraged the Christians. As a matter of fact, Paul begged the Christians, "I beseech you, brethren, to present your bodies a living sacrifice." Their body, when he said their body, he meant literally their physical body, but he also meant everything about them, their entire being, their thoughts, their desires, their actions, everything that made them them. He said, "I encourage you, I beg you to present all of yourself as a living sacrifice to God." The Jews understood the idea of sacrifice. Their history for generations had been under the sacrificial system. These Jews had grown up, and generations before them had grown up under the sacrificial system. So they understood it. We may not understand it quite as well because we've never been under a system of sacrifice. But they understood, the Jews understood, that when you give a sacrifice, when you gave a sacrifice, you gave all of it. Exodus chapter 29, verse 18. The Bible says, "And thou shalt burn the whole ram," not H-O-L-E or not H-O-L-Y, but W-H-O-L-E, "the whole ram upon the altar. It is a burnt offering unto the Lord. It is a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord." Whatever they brought, whatever kind of animal, whether or grain or oil, whatever they brought as a sacrifice to God, they gave it all. If they didn't give it all, it was not an acceptable sacrifice. I thought about that as I was preparing this message this week. I tried not to prepare this message. I'm just going to be honest with you. Can you imagine for just a minute, put yourself in the place of one of those Jewish people back in ancient times, back in the Old Testament. Can you imagine if they brought the bull, brought the cow to the priest and said, "Here you go, priest," whatever they called him. "Here's my sacrifice, you take it, but listen, could I have one leg back? As you butcher it up, could you save the best cut of meat and just give it back to me? You can have it all, I just want a little bit of it back." If you read through some of those the sacrificial instructions, you'll find out that they took the skin outside of the camp and they burned it. So what if they said, "Hey, just give me the skin back. You know, I'll tan it and I'll make a coat out of it or something. You're just going to burn it up anyway. I might as well get a little personal use out of it. You can have it all. Just give me the skin back." The priest would have refused the sacrifice. If the priest would have accepted the sacrifice, God would have refused the sacrifice. It was unacceptable because it wasn't all given. Now, that seems kind of reasonable, doesn't it? If you're just going to burn it anyway. As a matter of fact, in Leviticus, in the book of Leviticus, I forget the chapter, but there's a chapter in Leviticus that's giving instructions about the offering and how it's to be done. And how says, and the Bible says, even the dung is to be given to the Lord. Isn't that amazing? All of it is God's. And unless all of it is given, it is an unacceptable sacrifice. It was God's. It was given to God. It was Him to do with whatever He wanted to do. It didn't make any difference. If He wanted to take it out and burn it, that was up to God. It was His. No longer under the control of the person who gave it. It was given to God. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, to present our entire being to God as a living sacrifice. God doesn't want us to die for Him necessarily. He wants us to live for Him until we die. Live for God, serve God completely, no conditions, total unconditional surrender. It doesn't matter what God chooses to do with us. We are His unconditionally. Now, this is where it gets tough. What if God decides to send you to the backside of some foreign country to be a missionary? What if God decides to allow you to struggle financially? What if God decides to allow you to struggle emotionally or physically or your home life or your work life? What if it's God's will for your life for there to be difficulty, for there to be problems? Listen, we're all for unconditional surrender as long as God makes life easy and comfortable, right? Boy, just give me everything I want and I'll surrender to you. What if it's God's will for you to be uncomfortable and your life to be difficult? Now, I know what you're thinking. Oh, Pastor, God doesn't want any Christian's life to be difficult and uncomfortable. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I know it'll be on the screen, but I'd like for you to look at it in your Bible this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I have probably preached from this passage. I've taught from this passage. And I'm going to be honest with you, I never realized something about this passage until this week. And it's difficult to accept. Paul said in verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Now don't read any further. Stop right there. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Paul, the apostle Paul. The missionary to the known world at the time. Arguably the greatest apostle who ever walked the face of the earth. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Now, usually when we come to this passage, we try to figure out what that thorn was, right? We want to know. Some think it was some sort of physical affliction. Some think it was something to do with his eyes from other hints in the scripture. Some think it was the constant attacks of the false teachers who followed him. I don't know what it was, but he had it. And it caused him pain. It was a thorn in the flesh. You take a thorn and you stick it in your flesh and it hurts. Paul hurt. And he said, 3 times I prayed for healing. Now this is where it gets difficult. I don't know what Paul did. I know he prayed. Maybe he got on his knees. Maybe he stood with his hands held high to God. Maybe he was emotional. Maybe he wept. Maybe he cried out. Maybe he was in anguish. Maybe he was eloquent. Maybe his prayer was long. Maybe it was short. I don't know. But he prayed 3 times and he said, God, heal me. Get rid of this thorn. Get rid of this pain. And God said, no. 3 times God said, no. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. We don't like that. I don't like that. I'll just be honest with you. I don't like that. I don't like that passage of Scripture. We don't. Some Christians don't even believe that passage of Scripture. Did you know that? We think, listen, this is Paul. Surely God wanted to heal Paul of all people. Surely God wanted to heal Paul. Paul must not have had enough faith. Right? That's what people tell us today. If you're a Christian and you're sick, right? Come on now, get with me. If you're a Christian and you're sick and you're not healed, and some well-meaning brother or sister, well, if you just had enough faith. Paul didn't have enough faith. God said no. Maybe Paul didn't say the right words. You know, if you just pray the right words, if you just look through Scripture, there's a secret formula in there somewhere. I'm sure I can find it. Paul didn't pray the right words. Paul didn't pray long enough. He only asked 3 times. Man, something like that, you've got to keep asking and asking and asking and until God says yes. Right? God wants to heal His people, right? God wants His people to be rich and wealthy and healthy and wonderful and powerful, right? I mean, that's what the guys on the television tell us. They won't preach Romans or 2 Corinthians 12. I want you to listen to me. This is what I discovered, and I didn't like it. It was the will of God for Paul to have a thorn in the flesh. Isn't that amazing? It was the will of God. This is where it gets hard, folks. What if it's God's will for you to have a thorn in the flesh? Well, I don't like my job, God. I don't make enough money. I don't get enough respect. The people that I work for are difficult to work with. Whatever it might be, I don't like it. I don't like the hours. I don't like the place. Whatever. I don't like. God, give me another job. And God says, no. No, I want you right where you are. I have a reason for you being there. I have a purpose for you being there. No. What do we do? Do we gripe and complain? Do we grumble? Well, God won't give me what I want. I guess I just won't give God what He wants. What do you do? God, my... This is hard. I'm telling you, this is hard. God, my home life is not what I want it to be. Maybe it's my fault. Maybe it's my spouse's fault. Maybe it's my kid's fault. Maybe it's the church's fault. Maybe it's society's fault. I don't care whose fault it is. I don't like it. Get me out of it. God, I'm poor. I'm tired of being poor. I'm sick and tired of being poor. My neighbor gets to buy stuff. My other neighbor gets to buy stuff. My family gets to buy stuff. And all I can do is barely put food on my table. God, make me rich. And God says, no. God, would you make me healthy? God, would you heal me? Man alive, I've been struggling with this disease for years and years and years. Whatever it is, it's a disease. One of these days it's going to kill me. God, if you don't heal me, one of these days it's going to kill me. Would you please heal me? And God says, no. What do we do? What do we do when emotional suffering, physical suffering, social suffering, financial suffering, home life, job life, what do we do when it's a thorn in the flesh and we pray and we plead, and there's nothing wrong with praying and pleading and asking God for deliverance, but what do we do when He says, no? Thank you. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, brokenhearted. The Bible says that He sweat drops of blood. You ask somebody in the medical field and they'll tell you that means that there's a rupture of blood vessels. He's in such agony and such turmoil that His physical body is rupturing. And He said, God, if it is Your will, let there be another way. Take this from me. And God said, no. What do we do then? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the rest of verse 9 and verse 10. Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul said, I will glory in the fact that the will of God is being accomplished in my life, even if it means I have to suffer. Even if it means I have to keep the job I don't want. Even if it means I have to be poor. Even if it means I have to be sick. Even if it means I have to have a difficult life at home or a difficult life in the job or whatever. Even if it means I have to give up the person I'm dating. Even if it means suffering. From this day until the last day of my life, I will glory in the fact that the will of God is being accomplished because I am unconditionally surrendered to God for His glory, for His purpose, for His praise. You know what? Paul had joy, abiding joy in his life. He had a thorn in the flesh. He had abiding joy. He had a thorn in his flesh, he had personal peace. He had a thorn in his flesh, he had spiritual growth. He had a thorn in his flesh, he had spiritual prosperity. He had a thorn in his flesh, and he belonged to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because when he came to Him, he surrendered unconditionally. Amen. If you want all of that stuff, if you want any of that stuff, if you want salvation, we must surrender unconditionally to God, a living sacrifice. The next thing I want you to notice is that this was a holy sacrifice. Holy means separate from sin. Christians, we shouldn't have to be told this, but we are. We need to be told. We can't sin. We need to stop sinning. On the way to church this morning, I drove by a house. I was thinking about this message. I've been thinking about this message for several days, thinking about how I could get out of preaching it. And I drove by a house, and I know the people that live in that house. And I thought, you know, if I stopped this morning and knocked on their door and asked them if they were Christians, they'd tell me they're Christians. They live together. They're not married. Oh, pastor, that's old-fashioned. No, that's the Word of God, brother and sister. That's the Word of God. They never come to church, but they're Christians. They don't give God their time. They don't give God their talent. They don't give God their money. They don't give God anything at all, but they're Christians. If you ask them, they're Christians. Christians, we need to stop sinning. Listen, I know nobody's perfect, and I'm not saying we're going to go through this life without ever committing a sin. But sin cannot be a continual presence in our life and claim the name of Jesus Christ. See, we have to resist temptation. We've got to quit doing it. The sacrifice is holy, separate from sin. Holy also means to be set apart for service to God. Well, now listen, I'll be a Christian, but don't you ask me to do anything. I'll come to church when it's convenient. If it's not raining, I'll come to church. But now listen, don't ask me to do anything. I don't want to tell anybody about Jesus. Don't ask me to be a witness. Pay tithes. You want 10% of my money? Well, you can forget that. I need all I got to pay my bills. Well, I can't give you my time now. I'm busy. I don't want to pray. You know, I'm too embarrassed. Well, I can't teach a Sunday school class. I've never done that before. I want to be a Christian, and I'll come every now and then. I am a Christian. Just don't ask me to do anything. Holy is set apart for service to Christ, even if he asks you to go to the backside of a foreign country. See, it's unconditional surrender. Holiness is unconditional surrender. Whatever God wants, whatever His plan for us is, it's His will, it's His plan, it's His way, it's not mine. We give all that up. We surrender our will to the Lord when we come to Him and accept Him as our Savior and our Master and our Lord. Holy sacrifice. Holy living. Chances are the TV preacher won't talk to you about that either. Only when we give ourselves unconditionally to God, only when we resist sin, only when we live holy lives will we experience joy and peace and all those things that we want. Finally, I want you to notice that this is a reasonable sacrifice. Now, I know what some of y'all have been thinking as I preached this message, and especially as I got to that part about all the things that we had to give over. Notice I didn't say give up, but all the things we have to give over to God. And you're thinking, well, that's unreasonable. That's too much to ask. God shouldn't be asking that much. God shouldn't ask for everything. Isn't 90% enough? This verse says that it is our reasonable service. Everything that we have is a gift from God. You know that. Listen, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Sometimes we just have to be reminded of it, right? The air we breathe is a gift from God. The food we eat is a gift from God. The house we live in, the car you drove here this morning in or rode in, it's a gift from God. Life itself is a gift from God. Whatever you own, whatever you think you own, whatever you possess, whatever you owe payments on, is a gift from God. We are His creation. He made us. He even gave us a free will so that we could give our will back to Him. It's not unreasonable to serve the Lord. It's not unreasonable to give your whole life to God. He gave His whole life for you. On the cross of Calvary, go back and read it. Think about it. Pray about it. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ gave all to the very, very blood that flowed through His veins for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 says, "For ye are bought with a price, and that price was the life, the very blood of Jesus Christ. And He gave it all. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Would you stand with me this morning? I think I'll just have Sheriff play a song. I'll ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Be as quiet as you can for just a minute. Listen, I know this is a hard message. I understand that. We don't want, Paul didn't want affliction. We don't want affliction, whatever form it is, we don't want it. But sometimes it's the will of God. It was for Paul. And so he said, because I'm unconditionally surrendered to God, I'm going to glory in my infirmities. I'm going to take great pleasure. I'm going to rejoice in the fact that the will of God is being done in my life. Now, Christian, can I ask you this question this morning? Are you unconditionally surrendered to God, just like you are in the condition that you're in? Are you rejoicing that the will of God is being done in your lives, or are you resisting? Are you grumbling? Are you complaining? Are you upset thinking God doesn't love you because He won't give you what you want? Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. Unconditional surrender. Every part of your life, that's what it takes. If you want salvation, if you want it all from God, you have to give it all to God. You come this morning while Sarah plays.